This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Glory to Jesus. Thank you so much, choir. God bless you. You may be seated. It's a delight to see every one of you tonight. I've missed you, you know. We were confined to the studio for the past 2 weeks, having to transmit from there. It's a body. Glory to God. But finally, the transition is done. We bless God for how smooth it was. We needed to leave where we were for obvious reasons. Number one, we were restrained. We were not growing. Sorry, the technical guys are still working. Work will continue here till sometime around Thursday, Friday. A lot of things need to be put in place, and they've been working all night for the past 2 days. They slept here. I think from 3 nights ago, they've been here working all night to put everything in place. We are a royal priesthood, and so excellence is very important. Glory to God. And so they are doing a lot of work. Can you just put your hands together for the Directorate of Productions and the Directorate of Operations? They were primarily involved in the transition, and they've done a great job. They've really, really done a great job. By next week, Sunday, everything will be in perfect alignment, from the sound setup, the lighting, to the traffic control, security, and everything. Transport modalities, all of that are being worked on. And so relax, we have you covered. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so I was saying we had to leave where we were using because we didn't have room to grow. That's a sensitive environment. The CBN is there. So many sensitive, you know, infrastructures are situated there. And so we're not allowed to do overflows there. We couldn't put sound outside and all of that. So we're limited. That's why my first scripture here is that you enlarge your coast. And so we needed to move. So when I saw that our contract was about to expire, I decided we're not going to renew. We got, I think, a month extra just to finalize what we needed to do and then to migrate from there. Praise God. We were hoping that at this time we would be in our auditorium, but unfortunately we couldn't secure approval for the kind of structure we wanted to build on the land. We are still on that. We're advised to exercise patience until the transition in government is completed, so everything we do would be lasting. And so we decided to hold our peace. By next month, when transition is completed, the mandate is reclaimed. When things are stabilized, listen, we are not partisan. Don't get me wrong, and we are not religious by God. We are in a sensitive place, and we are speaking the perspective of God on this matter. And so if you are in other parties, we are not apologizing because we are not supporting any party, but we are speaking the mind of God. We are speaking the mind of God. So prosper in your career. Don't worry, they are working. Prosper in your career in your respective parties. If you are in PDP, God bless you. If you are in APC, God bless you. Prosper, but we are speaking the mind of God. So this is not about party. I know I have people here who are actively working. We are not truncating your career. The Lord prosper you. But on this matter, God has chosen a leader. And the mandate must be reclaimed. Hallelujah. And so when that is done, we'll follow through with the negotiation. And then we hope to secure the approval and start the project. With the speed and the favor, the grace that we have, we are sure that the Lord will do a quick work and He will cut it short in righteousness. So our next point of reference would be on our ground. Hallelujah. But for now, enjoy manna. Enjoy the quails. We are yet to arrive at the promised land. Give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. Before I begin, we are honored to have with us this evening a friend of the house, a covenant brother, and a prophet of God. Can we please celebrate God's servant, Prophet J.T. Bakari? Good to see you. We were talking the other day and I asked him, are you back to earth? Because these guys, sometimes they travel to places. And so if you don't see them for a long time, when they show up, they come with glad tidings. And so we are happy to have you. Welcome. My brother, God's servant, Minister Abraham Akatu is here. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you. I want to honor all our fathers. They've been so dogged. They've been so rugged. And they've been so committed. They follow us to the crusade ground. It's amazing the kind of passion and fire they have for God. Now that we have space, we are going to create somewhere for the elders. Well, because we need them. They counsel us, they rebuke us, and they help us to stay on track. And so I can see a few of them. That's retired Air Commodore Anayo and his wife. It's good to have you. I can also cite Daddy Eluma. When I came up, I saw him. Thank you for coming. God bless you. And all our mothers, our mamas in the house, God bless you. They are so passionate. From what we are seeing, it's like the women ministry will be the first to take the revival to the nations. The intensity is much. Thank you, everyone, for your commitment. Thank you for your doggedness. And thank you for keeping the faith. We are just starting. This is the time to take over. Now God has brought us to a large place, so we will flourish. In no distant time, we will take over this whole place. Because there is nothing stopping us anymore. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. One more time, just appreciate the Lord and ask him to cause you to hear and to receive the word tonight. I'll try to be brief tonight since we are still putting logistics together, so we'll leave here on time. Father, we ask that you speak to us tonight. Let your word come with fire. Let it come fresh. And let it come clear, causing everyone to receive, to run with, and to be established. We give you praise, we give you glory, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'll be sharing with us tonight on a very sensitive topic. I titled it, Eternal Witnesses. Eternal Witnesses. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus walked the face of the earth for about 33 and a half years. He manifested all of the dimensions of God that mortals are permitted to behold and to interact with. You know, it's not all of the dimensions of God we can handle. Of his fullness have we all received, but we may not be able to interact with his fullness in his intensity. The glory has varying intensities. But the intensity that we can handle, the much that we can interact with, Jesus manifested clearly for a period of about 3.5 years. And when Jesus was to depart the earth, he made a striking statement. You know, many times when we speak, we are calling God to come. We are calling God to show up. And there's nothing wrong with it. Many times, God will hit the scene and do what only him can do. But it is not God's critical plan to always interject into human program. From the beginning, when man was created to superintend over the agenda of God on the face of the earth. And that's why man was created in his image and in his likeness. The reason God decided to come into the equation was because man fell and it became impossible for man to mirror and to reflect God in his dimensions. But when Jesus was on the cross, he made a statement. He looked up and he said, it is finished. And so every infirmity that man suffered that made it impossible for man to reflect the dimensions of God had been taken away. And so when Jesus resurrected and was about to depart from the face of the earth, he came back to the original plan of God, exactly as it was in the Garden of Eden. And he spoke to the disciples. He said, go into all the world. Go into all the world. He said, not many days from now, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And he said, you shall be witnesses unto me. So every time man want to see God, and every time God is put in the dock, and the integrity of God is to be proven, your prayer is not God come. Your prayer is to manifest. Because you are the proof that God is true. You are the proof that God exists. And you are the proof that all God said is not a lie. That was God's plan in the Garden of Eden. That when you come into the earth constituency and you want to interact with God, the dimension or the host of God that you will interact with is the man that he put there. And now that a spiritual surgery has been carried out on the man and he has been restored to the status for which he was created, he will come back to that assignment of representing God to his realm. And so Jesus, after manifesting love, manifesting power, manifesting mercy, manifesting everything there is about God, he entrusted the assignment to men to go out there and reveal God to their generations. And so a man's existence is either a lie or not necessary, except as he develops the capacity to represent God to his world. And it's important for you to note two things. Number one, if we fail in this agenda, nature will rise up to the task. Because the DNA of God is trapped in everything God created. In Romans chapter 1 verse 20, the Bible speaking, it said that the invincible attributes of God are revealed through nature, even his eternal power and Godhead. And so if men refuse to manifest God, nature will rise up to the task. In fact, Jesus was speaking in the book of Luke chapter 19 verse 40, when he was entering Jerusalem and men were praising him. The Pharisees tried to stop them. Stop these people from praising you and calling you God. And Jesus made a statement. He said, if they were to stop, he said, the stones will rise up and begin to praise. And so we have to be careful not to be edged out of God's equation for nature to take over. Because nature is waiting. If we don't do the work of a witness, nature will take over the assignment, and trust me, they will do a better job. The Bible speaking in Psalm 19 from verse 2. Hear what the Bible said. It said, the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens. The heavens, from verse 1 to verse 2. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. It said, day after day, night after night, they utter mysteries. So the mysteries of God, even the invincible mysteries of the Godhead, nature has the power to reflect it. This is why, for example, the clearest expression of the Trinity is manifested by water. Water can exist as solid, water can exist as liquid, and water can exist as gas. Because everything God is hosted in nature and can be reflected through nature. And so when God told us to manifest and to bear witness for him, it was a privilege he gave to us. Recently, I heard the news that in Brazil, they decided to create two images. They enthroned the image of the devil, and they were riding that image on a cart in a stadium, and they were worshiping that image. And they created another image after the similitude of the Christ in the body. And they were dragging him and making mockery. No man stood up against it. Now, that is supposed to be a Catholic nation. That is supposed to be a nation that has the heritage of God in its foundation. But because no man rose up to stop the act, nature came into the scene. And in less than 2 weeks, the rain that is supposed to fall in 4 years fell in 1 day. And there was a flood. Now, I say this with a burden because there are innocent people there. But you see, when men refuse to represent God, nature will rise up. A flood came and started sweeping the city. Earthquakes began to happen. Strange things. In the last 2 weeks, Brazil has been trending. And so the greatest work of evangelism in the 21st century was carried out in Brazil by nature. Nature began to rebel. And all kinds of calamity began to happen in the nation. It looked as if the geology and the physics that the scientists knew suddenly fell apart. And they discovered that there is a power that keeps the ocean at the boundaries. They now discover there's a power that regulates how much water comes down. You know, they will teach you in geography that when water is evaporated and it can no longer hold, the cloud will empty itself. There is a force that regulates how much volume of water will fall in a territory per time. When they mocked that invincible finger, it now revealed to them that the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. The pillars of the earth, they are the Lord's. And when God withdrew his hand, rain was no longer rationed. You know, when Job was countering God, God asked him, he said, can you speak and lightning will appear and run errands? He said, do you know where the boundary of the sea is? He said, where does light dwell? Because what you call nature is actually the finger of God manifested in a boisterous manner. And when God is mocked and men refuse to rise up to the occasion, nature will play the role of witnesses. But it's not the intention of God to use nature to manifest himself. This is why, of all creation, he decided to place man as the zenith of creation. And he gave him that responsibility. Do you know that the first witness of Jesus is not nature, it's the Father? I'm trying to say this so that you understand the honor that is tied to witnessing. It was because man was not on the earth that God decided nature should bear witness. Because nature is older than man. The earth was created before man. And there must be witness to God if a realm will exist. Because any realm that does not have witness for God will become a realm of torment. It will be called death, like Hades. And so for a realm to exist and to flourish, there must be a witness for God. And so the Father was the witness of the Son. But when the Father created the world, he decided that nature should be witnessing for God until man shows up. And so when man came, God now made man the witness. When man stopped witnessing for God, nature took over and the Father also took over. I read another scripture for you very quickly. In John 8:18, it said, the Father is the one that bear witness unto me. In John 5:32, it said, him that bear witness unto me is the Father. And he said, his witness is true. So the Father was bearing witness for the Son. He handed over that witness to nature. And when he now created man, he gave man the assignment of becoming a witness. But the man did not understand the honor. He did not understand the privilege it was. And so he lost it. But on account of God's mercy, he restored man. And when Jesus resurrected, he brought man back to that assignment. He said, not many days from now, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. My teaching tonight is to reveal to you who a witness is. Because if you don't know who a witness is, you may not even know what it means to be a witness. Because if I were to ask you now, are you a witness? You may not know the answer to give. But when you are a witness, everywhere you go, two things will happen. Number one, God will be glorified. And number two, that place will become the embassy of God. The assignment of a witness is to get God to be glorified and to cause his constituency to become the abode of God. That means the kingdom of God will dominate there. You have been working in the bank for 30 years. How many people glorify God in that bank because of your presence? And to what degree does the influence of God affect the operation of that bank? You got married 7 years ago. You were celebrating that you have a boy, you have a girl. My friend Leroy, the wife just put to bed. Leroy has been celebrating for the past 48 hours. Celebrate Leroy. I'm married 7 years. God has given me two sons. and a girl. That's good. But what is the extent of the influence of God in that home? And to what degree is God glorified? Ah! God brought me into real estate. I now have 4 different sites. And building is going up. What is the influence of God in your life and in that territory? The idea behind a witness is not self-glorification. It's not self-preservation. It's not self-aggrandizement. Yes, you will be enlarged. And as I teach, you will see it. But over and above your enlargement, God must be glorified wherever you are. And the influence of God must affect where you are if you are a witness. You know, when you come to church, these are the 2 things that happen. Jesus is glorified, and the influence of God palpably affects everyone and everything you see. But the idea is not for this to be confined only in the church. It's so that everyone who comes to church fetches of that reality and takes it with him into the world. Because you are not a witness in the church. All of us here are the children of God. We are all light. We just came here to be equipped so that we can affect our world. Your witness is supposed to be in your sphere of influence. But for you to truly be a witness, you need to understand first and foremost who a witness is. I'll define it in 8 ways. And so let's open the Bible. Number 1. You know, if witnesses don't rise, many will rise up and mock God. Many will rise up and be a false witness against God. And so we must rise up so that our God is known for who he is. And when he's known for who he is, he will be glorified and his influence will dominate the earth so that his glory can be on the earth as the waters cover the sea. Who is a witness? Number 1. A witness is a proof producer. Proof. In the court of law, they call it exhibit. Now, when you show up, it's not enough to talk about God. Yes, you will. And I will discuss that in a short while. But when you show up, if you are a witness, particles and elements of God must be palpably and evidently expressed through your life. If you cannot manifest God, you may be a Christian, but you are not a witness. If you cannot manifest God, you may be a believer, but you are not a witness. Now, when you start studying the scripture, you will find out there are many names they called Christians, or they called us. The list is Christian, because it's not God that named us Christians. It's the people of the world that named us Christians. And the point I'm raising is the fact that even the unbelievers, the name they gave us is suggestive of manifesting God. There is no name a Christian is called that does not attribute one element of hosting or manifesting God. They called them Christians first in Antioch because they looked like Christ. So they called them little Christ. So when they found these people, everything about their life suggested what the Bible said. When they read about Jesus and they looked at these people, their lives were similar to what was written. And so they said, these ones are like Christ. When you are called a believer, it's simply because you have the fortitude to accept what God said and you have the capacity to express it. Because a believer is not just to put faith in God, but to put faith in God enough to be able to demonstrate it. In James 2, 19 and 20, he said, thou believest that there's only one God. He said, thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. So believing is not just to put your faith in God, but is on the strength of that faith able to do the works of God and to manifest God. And Jesus culminated it by calling us a witness. And so anybody who can boldly say he's a child of God should say that if his life is able to reveal God. What are the elements or the dimensions of God that your life represents, apart from the title you carry everywhere you go? Everywhere you go to, you carry the title of a Christian, of a pastor, of a prophet. That is beautiful. But what is the dimension of God that you are able to host? if there is no dimension of God that can be attributed to you, you should lose your sleep. You should become angry. You should become offended. These are the things that should trouble you. Lord, what constituency do I belong to in the spirit? What dimension has been entrusted to me? Will I just walk among millions of Christians, call myself a Christian, and throughout my walk on the earth, there is nothing that proves that I am different? That is what should provoke you. That is what should trouble you. That is what should take sleep off your eyes. It's not that I lost my job or the business is not doing well. All of that is important. But there is something superior. That every day you walk out, there's no signature of God on your life should make you lose your peace. Until you are able to command something. Else, you will not be different from a lecturer. Jesus didn't send us to the world as talkers. He sent us into the world as witnesses. And the first proof that a man is a witness is the fact that he is a proof producer. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. I show you a few scriptures. It said, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. How will this be possible? This will be possible when men begin to multiply. Because what God had in mind was that everywhere a man gets to, the glory of God comes. Because when Paul was teaching, Paul said, man is the glory of the Lord. And so if there are men in Nigeria, then the glory of the Lord shall cover Nigeria as the waters cover the sea. If there are men in Lokogoma, then the glory of the Lord shall cover Lokogoma as the waters cover the sea. And so anywhere you don't find the glory of God, it means there's no man there. There may be multitudes, but what proves that a man has come is that glory is there. If you come to a place and you don't find glory, forget about the number. That means nothing. Did you not read what the Bible says? God can leave a nation for the sake of one man. Because number is nothing except as there is glory credited there. And so it doesn't matter how many we are. How much glory do we reflect? How much of God do we reflect? If one of us can reflect God, that one is superior to a million of us without God. Because if the earth were to be God's constituency, then the men that dominate it must be carriers of glory. And so Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4. He came to Corinth like every preacher, because many came. They came as Sadducees. They came as Pharisees. They came as doctors of the law. They had knowledge. They could explain the Torah. But when Paul came, he thanked God for them. But he knew that he didn't come like every other person. He said, when I came unto you, I did not come with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the testimonies of God. I know the Pharisees had scholars. They can enter the laws of Moses and explain it. They can explain prophetic trends. They can explain prophetic patterns. They can explain the laws. They can decipher the Torah. He said, all of that is beautiful. But I didn't come with excellency of speech when I came to you. He said, when I came to you, he said, I came with the demonstration of the spirit and of power. I didn't come just to talk. I came to show you God. In 1 John chapter 1 from verse 1, he said, that which was from the beginning, which our eyes have seen, our hands have handled, he said, that is what we came to commit to you. He said, we have fellowship with the Father, and we came to show you that fellowship. Not so that you will become a part of a group, not so that you become a part of a religion, but so that the God that we handle, you too we handle. And so when we came to you, we came to present God. Many people travel and move around presenting messages, presenting denominations, presenting titles, but there is no God. The world cannot be affected by titles. The world cannot be affected by denomination. Imagine how many we are in Nigeria. Imagine how many we are, both as individuals and as churches. Does that not suggest to you that witness is lacking? Our number will count for nothing except as we are able to demonstrate and to manifest God. In 2 Corinthians 12:12, he said, I demonstrated unto you all the signs of an apostle. That means whatever you call yourself in this kingdom, there must be a sign that backs you up. Whatever you call yourself, whether a Christian, a prophet, an evangelist, a believer, you are not what you say you are, except as there is a sign that backs you up. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. I know they have a message. I know their Bible exegesis is correct, but there must be a sign. If these ones are of me, there must be a sign that backs them up. He said, in my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. He said, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. How do you think you will get the world's attention? By speaking English? How do you think you will get the world's attention? By dressing in a particular way? What type of dress have they not seen? What type of excellence have they not seen? What type of linguistical and oratorial dexterity have they not heard? What they are looking for is a sign they cannot explain, yet cannot deny. What they are looking for is the God factor in your utterance. Is the God factor in your character. Is the God factor in everything you do. All of us, we only sing with good voice, except as one sings, God manifests. If one man sings and God shows up, his song becomes different. Because what makes your song different is not the excellent harmonics. That is important. But where is the God? If the God is not there, you sang like the many. But the moment God shows up, you are set apart. Because God is holy. Everything about God is different. If 10 people are manifesting God, 10 of them will be different. 10 of them will be unique because they are witnesses. But if God is not there, we may use different studios, different equipments, different dress tie. We are still the same. We are all without life. When we were sent out, we were not sent out as talkers. Yes, we will talk. But when we talk, there is something that happens. There must be a supernatural thing that comes to back every utterance we speak. This is why in 1 Corinthians 4:20, Paul speaking, he said, the kingdom of God is not words. It is the demonstration of power. Because many come with intelligence. Many come with kingdom of God is not words. I know all of us, we speak, but where is the power element? Is the demonstration of power. See, if you are not a witness, the world won't take you serious. Make no mistakes about it. Forget this grammar, this coordination, this comportment without power. Forget all of this gesticulation without power. They've seen it all. The only thing they've not seen and cannot see enough is the God factor. If the God factor manifests, the world will be arrested. The world will stand still. Do you think people will call you just because you preach a good message? When they call you, is the God in the message they are looking for. Last night, a lady called me from the United States. Her marriage wrecked. Her marriage was wrecked. Everything crashed. And she called me. She wasn't looking for a marriage lecture. I preached a message on marriage, but that's not what she's looking for. She's looking for divine intervention because she was going through crisis. And as I started speaking with her, immediately over the phone in America, the power of God hit her and she started vomiting. Vomiting and vomiting and vomiting, and all kinds of garbage that was planted in her came out of her. And those were the things responsible for what she went through. The question is, how many Christians did she meet? The question is, how many churches did she attend? And so a phone conversation of 5 minutes can be superior to 1 month of church attendance if there is no witness. This is how significant witnessing can be. I was in Makurdi last month with somebody. We just went out in the evening. They said we should sit out and maybe eat something. And we're there, they brought us yogurt and some things. We're about to enjoy ourselves. And an ASV walked up to me. He said, I know you, sir. Oh, good. Nice to meet you. God bless you. All of us came to freshen up. The man didn't care. He knelt down there. He said, I've been married for 3 years. This is my wife. No issue. Sir, we won't let you go. That's not a place to start a sermon. Oga, nobody is listening to Bible study there. It's either you carry something or you don't carry. Because an eatery is not a place for Bible study. That's not a discipleship ground.
in the name of Jesus, carry your child now. 3 months later, the guy called me and said, we are 8 weeks. My wife is 8 weeks. It's not language. The world is not looking for English. There are many speak. Is English your first language? There is a whole country that speaks English language as their natural language. A nation. Not just one nation. 4 nations. They are called the United Kingdom. They speak English as their first language. You now heard it, study it, and you want to live your life speaking. You are a joker. Hey, hey, yeah. Beferaco Malakia Aziza Hara Kanash Katina Tahash. In the UK, who is a native, have spoken English for more than 1,000 years because it flows in their blood. That's their first language. It flows. So if it's about English language, then the least Englishman would have been a better creature than every one of us. It's not about language. He said, the words I speak unto you is not Aramaic. It's not Hebrew, although it is translated in Hebrew, but the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. If it's about language, why didn't he tell them, now you have heard enough, go out? He said, wait until you are endued with power. Not many days from now, you shall receive power. It's a proof you are going out to present. If somebody is dying, you come with life. If somebody is sick, you come with healing. If somebody is poor, you come with the power to get wealth. If somebody is heartbroken, if somebody is depressed, you come with freshness of the spirit. There is something on your inside that releases God to your world. And so when you manifest God. A witness is a proof producer. Our world is looking for proofs. People are asking questions. Questions that are existential. We can't just speak language and walk away. Not Igbo, not Hausa, not Idoma, not English, not Spanish, not Mandarin. Over and above the native dialect, there must be something of God that comes out of you. This is the passion that every believer should have. Do you not know the depth of the man Christ? Jesus wants to live. And he had many names to call you. He didn't choose anyone. He said, be witnesses unto me. Is that something you take light? When he said you are a witness, it means you are the proof of God. You are the proof of God. Thank God for the Bible. But the Bible can be trashed. There are many places where they trash the Bible. Because it's a book. But when what is in the Bible enters you, you become a proof of God. A proof of God. A witness can never be overlooked. A witness can never be trashed because he is the living expression of the living logo. Everything God is, that's what he epitomizes. That's what he manifests. That's what he represents. And so when Jesus sent us into the world, he didn't send us as Christians. He sent us as proof producers. What is the proof that you carry? You must carry so much proof that people know you to represent a dimension. Wherever they need that one, they know it's resident with you. And you can wake up in the morning and demonstrate it. A brother came to my house this morning. His elder brother advised him, better go and meet that guy. Life is not a coincidence. Life is a product of power interplay. The day the elder brother came to see me, the Honda he was driving broke down. He had to enter a cab to come. I think he came to church to share his testimony. Enter the cab to come. And when I looked at him, I told him, except I'm not God, by this time next month, your story will change. And the guy told me, he said, should I remind you, my God You look at me and tell me that. He said, sir, with all due respect, this is today's date. Should I remind you? I stood up. I told him, before this date, your story will change. It didn't take 3 weeks. He changed two cars. He changed two cars. He bought a house in 3 months. As I talk to you now, he's a CEO. See, the guy understood how it works. There was a time he started going down. He looked for me and came again. He said, oh God, that thing you gave me, I need more. He's not a member of Encounter Jesus Ministry. It's not about church. It's about witnessing. How much of God do you carry? Sir, there is something you carry, an imam will look for you. There's something you carry, an alahaji will look for you. There's something you carry, an emir will look for you. Did you not read about Benson Itahosa? Muslims were his biggest financiers. They come to him at night and say, oh God, if we change what we are doing, they will kill us. But we know what you are doing is the way. Because you are not reciting scriptures. You are demonstrating God. I was told that when what's his name now? Reinhard Bonnke came to organize his crusade at Liberty Stadium in Ibadan. Abacha himself came to see him in the hotel to give him money to sponsor the crusade. That's a Muslim head of state. I thought people go queuing up, booking appointment to see president. There's nothing wrong with it. They are men in honor. But there's a level of witness you carry. Even the president will find you. Even the president will find you. Because what you carry is bigger than the one sitting in Aso Rock. He said, go into all the world as witnesses unto me. You are a proof producer. Somebody will look at himself and say, no, not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. There's a dimension of God that I must command. There's a dimension of God that I must demonstrate. Did you not read your Bible? The Bible is not a book of believers only. It's a book of witnesses. How come in a whole generation, they will write about 3 people? Because God is not interested in the multitude. He loves them. He will save them. But he's interested in the witnesses. Moses went to Pharaoh. Genesis 8 verse 1. Let my people go, that they may worship me. And Pharaoh asked him, who is your God? And why should I listen to what he say? What's my business with your God? Do you know how many gods we have in Egypt? And then Moses had to tell him, it's not about the number. It's about the dimension. It's about the power. And so when you stand out there, people are tired of language. They want to see what you carry. And immediately, Moses dropped his sword. He understood the question Pharaoh was asking. The question Pharaoh was asking was not, explain your God. It's show me your God. There's a difference between explain your God and show me your God. You can use language to explain your God. But what the word is asking is, show me your God. And he dropped his staff. And the Bible said the staff became a servant. And surprisingly, even Pharaoh's wise men had gone far in the spirit. They dropped theirs. And theirs too turned to serpents. But something happened. The witness continued. And he said, the serpent of Moses swallowed up the serpent of Pharaoh. And 10 times Moses rattled Egypt until Pharaoh had no choice. He said, go, 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 leave us. Everything holding you back, as you begin to demonstrate God, they will let you go. A witness is a proof producer. Imagine if you are 5 in your family. That is 5 different proofs. Imagine if you are 1,000 in your church. That's 1,000 different proofs. One represents prosperity. One represents wisdom. One represents healing. One represents wealth. One represents dominion. And so when we start growing, you become afraid. Because you know this is not numerical factor. This is witness factor. This is manifestation factor. I prophesy over you. Everything hindering the manifestation of God. As you walk out of this place, that dimension of God secreted you. You will manifest it. We are not ordinary. In Isaiah 8:18, he said, I and the children, not me alone. He said, I and the children that the Lord has given to me, we are for signs. We are for wonders. I prophesy over you. From tonight, you become a sign and a wonder to your generation. You become a sign and a wonder to your generation. You become a sign and a wonder to your generation. In the name of Jesus. Please sit down. Please sit down. See, no territory will eat you up. It takes a quality of witness. Even in the army. A friend of mine who is a lieutenant, they are in the army. Most times, when they go for their trainings and the rest, usually they wake them up in the morning to go and do their exercise. But there is this colleague of theirs. If the commandant is sick, he comes there and rebukes the sickness. Leave him now. Now. And the sickness goes. The first time he did it, the commandant checked and discovered he was whole instantly. He stood up and said, "Who are you? Am I not the soldier under you that you command up and down?" A new dimension has manifested. From that day, when they are going out in the morning, he said, "Don't trouble this lieutenant." He is talking to his God. He knows the other ones are Christians, but this one is a witness. He is not one of the Christians. He is a witness. He said, "Leave him." He is talking to his God. And so, do you know what it means to break protocol in the army? The strength of the army is discipline. But when a man shows up with sufficiency of God, even systems will bow. Laws will bow. Protocols will bow. I prophesy over you. You will step into a realm of witness that protocols will be bent on your account. Witnesses. We run around too many times calling ourselves Christians. It's time for the designation to be upgraded. Yes, you are a Christian, but you are not just a Christian. You are also a witness. Everywhere you come, you make proofs available. Everywhere you show up, you reveal God. That is your heritage. He said, "Not many days from now, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." And so what makes you a witness is the power you receive because you receive the Holy Ghost. And everybody hearing me now, at least most of you, you have received the Holy Ghost. And so you tell yourself, "I am full of power. I carry a dimension of God." See, that's why I tell you, when you go to pray, don't be too conscious of time. There is a word you are exploring. There's a word. Stare that word and come with what that word has to offer. I carry power. And so I don't have to be the preacher. I can be an usher and demonstrate power. I can be a banker and demonstrate power. I can be a governor and demonstrate power. I can be a senator and demonstrate power. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I carry it. That's who you are. A witness. A proof producer. Number two. Who is a witness? A witness is a martyr. The word witness in Acts 1:8 is the word maturayo. And maturayo means one who believes enough to die for. That's a witness. A witness is a martyr. If you don't have this credential, you know, many people talk until challenges come. "Lord, you know whatever you want, I will do for you." That's English. And you spoke it well. God will hear when trials come. James was speaking in James 1:2. He said, "Count it all joy when you go through diverse trials, when you go through diverse temptations, when you go through tribulation." He said that the trying of your faith worketh patience. How can you joy and jubilate in trials? Because it's the heritage of a witness. It's an honor for a witness to go through trials. He believes this thing so much that he's not only interested in the good that he brings. Whatever comes with it, he will stand his ground. Job, the Bible called him one of the witnesses from the east. And when you look at Job's life, you will think it's because of the cattle and the sheep. No, there was something bigger. The Bible said the devil ran to and fro the earth and came to boast before God. "I have checked the earth. There's nobody there." And he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?"
And even the devil didn't understand what witnessing is. The devil said, is it not because you have protected him? He said, allow me to touch him. Let's see if you can still call him. And God said, go and touch what he has. I know this man. The devil went, touched all his belongings, killed all his children. The man stood his ground. And the devil came back and said, well, there are people who are able to live without their properties. Skin for skin. If I touch his body, let's see if he will stand. God said, go and touch his body. And the devil came, afflicted him. And Job will not back down. Job will not break. Until the wife now came to him and said, what is wrong with you? Curse God and die. And God, Job looked at him. He said, why do you speak like one of the foolish women? Who told you that we only enjoy abundance? Our greatest, clearest, and strongest conviction is not manifested in abundance. It's manifested in trials. It's manifested in pain. It's called the martyr spirit. When you find a witness, that man can die for what he believes. In Acts 15:26, they highlighted Paul and Barnabas among all the other missionaries. There were many missionaries. There were many, many missionaries. But something stood out between Paul and Barnabas. He said, these ones, they hazarded their lives for the sake of the gospel. They hazarded their lives. They didn't just go because there was a blessing. They didn't just go because there was prosperity. They didn't just go because it was possible. They didn't just go because there were promises. Thank God for the promises. We all need it. But even if God promised nothing, there are those who will still stand. Look at Philippians 2:25, 29 and 30 quickly. I'm showing you something that is now lacking, that has reduced the potency of our Christianity. Christianity now is lift your hand and receive. Take it. This is what God is giving. And everybody comes to God for what God gives. When you find a crowd, it's because somebody is prophesying. Somebody is working a miracle. When you find a crowd, it's because they are dashing something. When they say, rise up, let's go out to the hardest part of the battle, you will suddenly discover that the true size of the congregation is not 10,000, it's 2. And sometimes, even the pastor preaching is not part of the congregation. Because you will be shocked. You will be shocked that when the going gets tough, the first person that will run will be the pastor. That's when you will know that the true members of that church is the cleaner and one usher. Because those are the ones that even in trials, they can still lift up their hands and say, my Redeemer liveth. My Redeemer liveth. Those are the ones that can praise God in the midst of adversity. He said, I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion, not in prosperity, in labor. A fellow soldier, not a baby Christian. This is a warrior, a fellow soldier. He said, a messenger and a minister. In verse 29, after giving us the things that happened to Epaphroditus, he said, receive him in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. They are not ordinary Christians. We are not all the same. Why did he say so? In verse 30, he said, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his own life. It's not just that he endured pain for Jesus. Even when the going got tough, the guy was dying. Even with the last drop of his blood, he was willing to do the work. He said the guy was close to death. And even at that level, he didn't consider himself. Come see what they call leadership in church today. When a Christian lacks money, his whole body is shaking. Oh, this God we are talking about, are you sure it's true? All these things they are saying, money. Some persons, their words scatters just because one thing goes wrong. Because they think God is a money doubler. And Christianity is a bed of roses. They didn't know they were sent here as ambassadors. They didn't know they were sent here as witnesses. You'll find people calling themselves all kinds of names. Wait until there's a problem. A son is sick and the next thing he's talking. All this thing we are doing, I don't know whether it's true. How can this be? You are a Christian, but you are not a witness. You are not a witness. The way people are disoriented because of little crisis shows you the frailty of their spirit man. I was telling somebody some days ago, I say, if I become homeless today, nothing will change about my life.
I'm not doing what I'm doing because I have food to eat. I'm not doing what I'm doing because I have a car to drive. And even today, we hop on bikes to go to places to preach. We hop on boats to go to places to sleep, to preach. It's not about the packaging. Yes, we are dressed king, so at some point, there's a way we appear. But like Paul, Philippians 4:13, I have mastered how to abound and to abase. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's the spirit of martyrdom. That nothing can stand in the gap. But there are few Christians that have gotten there. You see them comported and coordinated. Wait until there's crisis. You will see the frailty and the weakness. Because if you are not a witness, you are a weakness. A weakling. A martyr. A martyr. A witness is a martyr. In Daniel chapter 3 verse 16, when they called the three Hebrew boys, these were supposed to be princes in Babylon. If it is the gospel they are preaching today, all they will know how to do is diplomacy, how to interact with the king and keep their position. That's what they teach in church today. We teach principles of craftiness, treachery. Relationships are not even real anymore. Because people are taught how to greet you. Somebody will write a letter or write you a message. And there are some who are genuine. I'm not being pessimistic. But even the things they write, they are taught to write so. God's servant, I just want you to know that I love you. I appreciate you from the depth of my heart. And I don't take for granted what God is doing in your life. That same person will sit tomorrow with somebody and gossip you. And so what he's writing, he's mentored to write it. He doesn't know what he's saying. Because we have been taught how to doctor relationship. This is what they teach in business school. How to win the confidence of your business partners. And that's what we have brought into the hallowed assembly of God. But you see, there are people who can forgo their best relationships if it comes in line with their faith. And when these princes of Babylon were confronted with choosing worship of their God and that of Nebuchadnezzar, they said, "Oh king, we will not be careful to answer you in this matter." There is a realm where diplomacy stops. If we are talking about matters of Babylon and state, we can address you and relate it to you in diplomacy. But if it has to challenge our conviction, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Do your worst. If it is that image, we will not bow. Is it the Christianity of today? A professor who teaches young people, who is supposed to be the first example of society, a professor comes to dictate a lie and call it a national election result. They know how corrupt the system is that they don't even go for ordinary people. They go for the people that you feel should have credibility. And an old professor walks up after studying for more than 15 to 20 years and lecturing for more than 35 years. There's no character. There's no value. They bring few dollars and the leg is shaking. And it comes to speak English. This is 210. Is that the result that came from the field? And he will introduce himself as Barnabas. Do you know who Barnabas is? Do you know Barnabas? He said Barnabas and Paul were men that hazarded their lives for the gospel. You that have sold your nation for few dollars. You are the one calling yourself Barnabas. Better go and change it. Because your name is Judas Iscariot. Shameless men all over the place. Old men that should be an example. According to patterns of scripture, Paul said the older men are supposed to teach us values. The older women are supposed to teach values to the younger ones. But today, what a shame. You see old men lying on national television. And when you ask them what is their name, they say their name is Paul. You are Paul? You, Paul? Do you know who Paul is? Do you know who Paul? You don't have a name. That's what you don't know. You don't have a nomenclature in the spirit. Because there is something about the order of Paul. Paul. There is something they carry. You say you are Enoch. Do you know who Enoch is? You are Daniel. Oh, no. Maybe you don't know the meaning of names. If you go back to that tribe, they will reject you. Because you are a shame to that order. But these things happen when there are no witnesses. Paul was speaking. And he said, I die daily. I die daily. Because there are times when I forgo friends. There are times when I forgo businesses. There are times when I forgo opportunities. There are times when I forgo the things that should add value to my life for the sake of this gospel. And because I would have needed those things to progress physically, but because of the gospel, I have to leave them. You see, I die daily. I die daily. If you study Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 35, it said widows received their dead back to life and they entered the main business. It says some of them endured cruel mocking. And it said they were sawn asunder. It said they rejected deliverance that they may have a better resurrection. What do they know? What were they taught? What is the motivation of their own kind of Christianity? Because they know what it means to stand and say Jesus is Lord. For them, it's not a language. For them, it's a reality. And they will give everything to defend it. I've told you again and again, when Peter was to be crucified, he didn't say, wait, I want to write a letter to my wife. There was no time. All the letters they wrote were to churches. They were overwhelmed by this truth. Overwhelmed that you have to remind them of their personal things. Peter was married with children. But Peter was more passionate about the church in Galatia, about the church in Cappadocia. Those were the buttons of his spirit. And when they wanted to crucify him, he said, please, when you crucify me, don't face me up. I'm not worthy to be faced up. He said, turn me upside down. I can't be the way my master was. What did these men know? And this is not what apostles should do. This is what every believer should do. Because in the early church, they were numerous. When you start reading church history, you will hardly find birthdays. Nobody cares how you were born. They were interested how you left. And so all you will see are death days. This is when this one died. This is how he died. This is when this one died. This is how he died. We celebrate birthday every year. And our life counts for nothing. Because there's nothing we are standing for. And if we have to die, we will die for it. So poor that it is said now that everybody has a price. God forbid, not me. A witness is a martyr. A witness may not be an apostle. It may not be a prophet. But every witness is a martyr. There is a baptism of death that they carry. And compromise does not exist in their world. Compromise. No, it doesn't exist there. That's a witness. I prophesy over someone. The doggedness of a martyr. The capacity to stand in the face of adversity. Receive that grace now. A policeman was speaking to me. Because he refused to collect bribe. He was threatened to be posted to a village. And he came to me asking for prayers. I wanted to pray. And God told me I'm about to abort his calling. He didn't go to the police force to carry guns about. He went there to bear witness. When I finished talking to him, something rose in his spirit. And he told me he is returning to tell his boss, do what you want. If they like, they shouldn't promote him again till he resigns. But at least that boss will not sleep. He will know that he met one policeman who was different. That may be the only message that he will hear in his life. He heard one person who was different. And who cares where they post you to if you carry power? Send me to the village. That place will become a revival headquarters. Who cares? The reason people are lobbying to go to where things are working is because they don't carry power. If you carry power, the village is the best place. I was telling my brothers, it's when you go to villages you have cripples. It's when you go to villages you see the black. That's when you test what you carry. And so we are not the type that lobby. Today even pastors are begging to be put in city centers. How can you think of missions in our world? A pastor is bribing a senior pastor to put him in the city center. And when a senior pastor wants to punish you, he sends you to the village. And you find politics in church. Politics. So that you can be in Abuja. You can be in London. You can be in the city center and take good offerings.
And all your life, there will be no record that one deaf ear opened. Because money has become your God. Sir, if you like, send me to where there is no electricity. Light will come there. Where we do something there that the attention of the whole nation will turn there. And where we are will become the headquarter. Because we are carriers of God. So we are God's embassy on the face of the earth. We are the headquarter of God. And so it's not the territory that defines us. See, you must become dogged. If you will shine in this world, you must become rugged. If you will beam the light of God in this world, there are too many people compromising. This is a world where a lady can compromise her virginity because of Brazilian hair. Number one, you don't have an identity because it's hair that defines you. And number two, you are useless. If your virginity is worth 5,000 naira, 20,000 naira, 50,000 naira, no, it means you don't have worth. A generation of dogged men will rise. A generation of passionate people will rise. A generation of warriors will rise who can stand their ground. And like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the king, they can tell you, make the fire seven times hotter, we will not bow. You know why? The miracle happens in the fire. Throw me to the fire. Make it seven times hotter. I can't be intimidated. See, if you don't have the martyr spirit, they will intimidate you. They will come and threaten you. They will shake you. They will trouble you so that you will fidget. When they finish talking, stand up and say, do your worst. On this matter, I won't be careful. When I receive my commissioning letter, I also receive my death burial, death letter. I'm willing to die for it. I won't beg you if it has to do with Jesus. And I will never compromise. If you like, demote me on the job. If you like, send me to a village. I will be there enjoying God. Because this world is not my home. We are pilgrims on the face of the earth. We are going to a place that is beyond the star. That is where our true enjoyment is. And so you will not use anything in time to intimidate me. Paul was speaking. He said, what shall separate us from the love of God? The guy came to a point where he was troubleshooting himself. Is there anything on earth that is so precious? He said, is it trial? Is it depth? Is it height? Is it depth? Is it pains? Is it nakedness? What is that thing that can separate me from the love of God? He said, there's nothing. That's a martyr. Everyone listening to me, something will come upon your life. And if the whole Nigeria decides to compromise, you will stand. And if you have compromised before, the grace to stand going forward, receive it now. My God. A witness is a martyr. We don't pride in life. We glory in death. It's how we go that matters to us. He said when they were beaten, they went to their company and they rejoiced that they are privileged to be beaten on account of Jesus. That's the mentality of the apostles because they were witnesses. They were witnesses. Somebody will live here and he will begin to take pride in tribulation. He will take joy in trials. He will take joy in the test of life. And whatever the devil does, he will say, throw your best shot. We are not a generation that compromise. We are a species that have no greed in our spirit. We are a species that can lay down anything, including our lives, for Jesus. That's who we have become. We are witnesses of the gospel. We are not just preachers. We are witnesses. We are witnesses. We are witnesses. We are witnesses. There is a baptism that we have received. It's the baptism of death. You don't kill a dead man. We died when we started. We died when we started. Nothing can make us shift our ground. We are here to stay. We are here to stay. Esther, who was a queen, did not struggle to keep her throne. She said, if I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. If I perish, a generation of if I perish, I perish will rise again. A witness is a martyr. I'm looking at many martyrs here. Many, many, many. You will not take pride in what is common. You will be different. You will be different. Even the devil will know that this one don't have a price. And he will place you somewhere where only few are able to enter. Because we know that you don't have a price. Even death can't intimidate you. Poverty can't intimidate you. Nakedness can't intimidate you. When God gives you the opportunity, you will shine.
But like Paul, you have mastered how to abound and to abase. Even if you were in the pit like Jeremiah, you will prophesy. You will prophesy. You will prophesy. Nothing stops you. Nothing intimidating you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. A witness is a martyr. Number three, a witness is a preacher. You can't know it and keep quiet. If you keep quiet, you don't know it. Acts 4 verse 20. We cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard. Do you know why our world is dying? Because many are not speaking up. They keep quiet. They say they don't want problem. You are part of the problem. Somebody said, it is more evil to keep quiet in the face of evil. You can't claim you represent God. You have seen God. You have met God. And you don't talk about him. You don't talk about his power. You don't talk about his kingdom. You don't talk about his goodness. You don't know him. And let me tell you something. If you are in Nigeria today and you are quiet, your case is worse. Because there are many nations where men are speaking and it's a law not to speak. And many have spoken, have gone to prison. I shared with you a story of a preacher that went to China. He smuggled 17 Bibles to China. And he was able to meet with 23 pastors. And they went into hiding for him to share the gospel because they were excited that a brother is coming from the United States. So they couldn't sleep. They were overjoyed. They wanted to hear the gospel from America. And the man came. They entered the room. They said it's a 3 days meeting. When are we starting? 8 a.m. When are we closing? 8 p.m. American preacher said 12 hours of Bible study. Where he came from is 40 minutes. And when you are teaching, you take tea. What kind of Bible study is 12 hours? They say, okay, how many times are we going for break? They say, there's no break. Because when we enter here, we can't go out. It will create suspicion. 8 to 8. That's Bible study. The man had to trust God to give him stamina. And they entered Bible study. He started teaching. They were following. They hunger, you could perceive it. Every word he speaks, they latch onto it. And at some point, the second day was when he took notice. And he wanted to read a scripture from 1 Peter. And he noticed that one didn't have the Bible. And the other pastor gave him the Bible. And when they said to read, the pastor started reading the chapter. They entered another scripture. Somebody else without Bible started reading. He now said, did you people memorize some books of the Bible? They said, no. We have the whole Bible in our head. Any verse, any chapter, they can read. They read chapters and books. It's not verses. How come? He said, well, here, all of us sitting here, our congregation put together in secret is about 20-something million. The three of you, pastor over 20-something, say yes. He said they are in clusters and nucleuses. We meet behind the radar. So that's to give you an idea the difficulty they go to come to church. You are sitting on a seat that has pad. You say, I love Jesus. They sit on rocks. There's no AC there and it's clustered. If this AC go off, you will see how some people. And when you start worshiping, they say, I love you, Jesus. You are a drama queen. Oh, God. They sat on rocks, no AC. And the man asked them, how did you come to know the Bible like this? He said, when they catch you as a pastor, they imprison you for 3 years. And so when they imprison them, what their members do is to visit with pages of the Bible. Now, if they catch you with that page, you can be executed.
But they still take the risk because they can't stay without the word. And so when they bring you a page, you memorize the whole thing and eat it. So they both read and ate. When they now come out of the prison is a blessing because they consider the prison as a retreat. The prison is not a seclusion, it's a retreat. And all they do in prison is to pray and study. And so when they come out, they become mobile Bibles. When the pastor wanted to leave, they said, pray for us. In our country, we don't have the liberty to go to church like you do. You go to church, you project your Bible, you have big equipment, you play drums, you worship and enjoy God's presence. Pray for us that we will be like you. The pastor said, no, I won't pray for you. He said, in my country, every family have two Bibles that they never read. Every church is padded with air conditions, soundproofs, state-of-the-art equipment. Only the old and aged attend. If you stay in church for more than 40 minutes, everybody leaves. I won't pray for you. He said, you pray for us that we'll become like you. So there is a level you get to, you now discover that trial is a blessing. Because where there is no trial, the people fall back into lukewarmness and lasciviousness. Somebody told a story. He said, my great-grandfather was poor. He trekked kilometers to go to work. He said his son was a bit rich. He traveled on horses to go to work. He said his own son became a bit richer and he drove a Mercedes. He said his own son was even richer. He drove in a Rolls Royce. He now said the son of the one with the Rolls Royce was poor. Because the man in pain is taught wisdom. And because he's taught wisdom, he becomes stronger and he becomes rich. But when you approach the pinnacle of the temple, of the ladder, when you become rich, riches now make people weak, lukewarm and foolish, and they become wasteful and they become poor. That's the cycle of life. And so many times when God wants to help a generation, he allows them to go through trials. And so a man who has seen God will not only endure the trial, but what he has seen and heard, he will declare. How come there is nobody preaching boldly in the police? And you only come to attack them. You are not the one to preach to the police force. It is the police in the police force that should preach to the police force. You are not the one to preach to the army. They will kill you. And nothing is wrong in killing you, but your voice will not be heard. But a fellow military officer is the one to speak to his colleagues. You are not the one to speak to the businessmen. That's why Jesus sent us to all the world. And so when we gather like this, we empower the businessman to go to the businessman, the policeman to go to the policeman, the army to go to the army. But unfortunately, many are there, but they are quiet. And the reason they are quiet is because they are not witnesses. If you become a witness, that which you have seen and heard, you must declare. He said, we cannot be quiet. We must speak what we have seen and heard. We must speak what we have seen and heard. In 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul said, necessity is laid upon me to preach the gospel. He said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe! How can 1 week pass and you didn't tell anybody about Jesus? And you say you are a witness? How can 2 weeks pass? You didn't tell anybody about Jesus. You stroll to church alone. You come to sit down. You hear the word of God. You say, wow, this is powerful. No. When some of us caught this light, some persons here know me. On Sunday, we carry buses to church. It's not church arrangement. Those days, I used to go to football field. I will buy football and give to the team on Saturday and tell them, come to church on Sunday. I will present football to them. I will use my personal money and charter a bus and put there by 7 a.m. to gather the footballers and bring them to church so that they can hear the word of God. No pastor is coming to say, well done. We know this thing too much. We can't keep quiet. And so the ones I can talk to, I talk to. The ones I can't talk to, I bring them so that a higher authority will speak over them. But by all means, they must hear the gospel. How can you come to church alone and you say you are a witness? Does that mean your neighbor is not persuaded of the God you serve to tell you, I want to go to where you are coming from? Does that mean the person at the job does not notice or has not noticed that something has changed about you and is asking you what happened that you can lead to come and take the fire? No. We are not yet witnesses. When you become a witness, this thing will follow you like a perfume. You go to the market, you are talking to somebody. You go to the office, you are talking to somebody. Senators win senators. Footballers win footballers. Marketers win marketers. Bloggers win bloggers. And by all means, the whole system is affected. But today you have to come and beg people, encourage people, and motivate people for evangelism. Evangelism is not even something you do like an organized program. It is how you breathe. Because if God is real to you, and God is evident in you, that God will affect anybody that comes to you. He will affect them. But we have no witnesses. We have many Christians filling the pew every Sunday, but they have no passion. They have no body. You are a doctor. You have not affected 20 doctors. And you dress up with white garment. You say you go to the studio, the lab, and you are carrying a knife. And you think that's all there is about your life. You are a soldier. You dress with uniform, carry pockets and badges. And you are standing, chesting out. You think your life is about chesting out. You have not affected up to 10 people. There's something wrong with your Christianity. There's something wrong. Even when you become old, you win the old. You talk to the elderly. You win them. You continue. Because we are not here to enjoy. We are here to win our world. He said, we cannot but speak. Have you gotten to that point where you say, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel? Have you got to that point where you say, necessity is laid upon me? If they are not going out for evangelism, I'm going to win souls. If they are not going out to win the world, I'm going to win the world. And a point will come when you stand up in church on Sunday, you look to the left, 5 people sitting there, you want them to Christ. You look to the right, 7 persons, you want them to Christ. And as they are growing, they come to you to salute you. To appreciate you because they have found their destiny. They found their purpose because they met you. That's who a witness is. How can you sit in church for 10 years? Nobody is there on your account. Nobody is standing on your account. Nobody is burning on your account. And you say, our church is the best. You are not a witness. A witness is a preacher. He cannot but speak what he has seen and heard. I'm rounding up. There are 8 things I would have spoken about, but I touched the last one before I go. A witness is a force that dominates. You can't be a witness and not dominate. We take over. When you become a witness, anywhere you come to, you take over. You dominate it. You don't come to a place to be a part of. You come to dominate. If you are sent to a world, you come there to dominate. In Genesis 1:28, the first witnesses that were commissioned, he said to take over. He told them to take over the whole earth. Now, does that not shock you that God is speaking to 2 people and he told them to dominate the earth? 2 people. Do you see how big this world is? Do you see how big the earth is? He's showing you how God sees the people he creates or he created. How can you be addressing 2 men and you are telling them to take over the earth? How will they do it? Because it's a possibility. And you come into a nation of 200 million people and you are saying there's not much we can do. Whereas God gave the whole world to 2 people. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, have dominion, subdue, have dominion. 2 persons God was speaking to. And you are in Lagos, you have not taken over. You are in Abuja, you have not taken over. You are still doing church. No, we are takeover. We are the takeover generation. Our heritage is to dominate everywhere we enter. It's so unfortunate that the sons of the bondwoman understands this more than us. If they enter the bank, they are not looking for a job, they want to buy it. It's a takeover mentality. If they enter the force, they are trying to take over. If you look at the army today, for example, every course, in most cases, they will insist that the best graduating student is of the sons of the bondwoman. And they prepare them consciously to become chief of army staff. Consciously. It will be difficult to find 2 years pass and one of them is not chief of army staff because they have a dominating mentality.
They want to keep taking over. They want to keep ruling. That's why even in this last election, they were bold enough to say Muslim, Muslim. A Christian can't even think it. You say, hey, there will be problem. Ah, do you want the... We don't dominate. We don't take over. The guy is excited. I've gotten a new job. And he will slave on that job for 30 years. He doesn't even think of starting something. He doesn't even think of owning something. To him, it is great pride that he works with the bank. I'm assistant manager. I flew in the plane. I fly first class. I only fly first class. Whereas there are people who are saying, how much? What does it take to own an airline? What does it take to own a bank? What does it take to own this business? What does it take to be the biggest real estate owner? And in our country today, since I can remember, the richest person is one of the sons of the bondwoman. He has dominated the sugar industry. He has dominated the cement industry. Whereas Christians are so excited that they are directors there. There's nothing wrong in getting a job, but there's everything wrong in stopping there. Everywhere you are, you must know that we were created to dominate this world. A witness dominates. A witness thinks dominion, and it thinks dominion only. That's how it has been. In the days of Abraham, the Bible said, Abraham alone had in his house 318 trained men. He didn't talk about the children. He didn't talk about their wives. In his house, he had 318 trained men. How about the untrained ones? How about their children? How about their wives? Four kings took Lot. Abraham didn't consult with anybody. He was an army. He didn't go to anybody, come and help me. He carried his men. And are you okay? How can you pursue not one king, not two kings, not three kings, four kings? What are you thinking? The man is a man of dominion. He knows that nothing is bigger than him. He knows that there's nothing he cannot contend with because he has a takeover mentality. And the guy went, conquered the king. And when he was returning, the king of Sodom said, please take what you have taken. He said, no, I won't take even a latchet from you, lest you say you made Abraham rich. See, they are so assured in who they are that they don't bow or bend to nothing. If Abraham enters a bank today, the moment he steps in, he's looking at how long he will be here in order to buy it. Because he wants to determine how the banking system is run. If Abraham enters a plane today, he's thinking how to own his own airline. Because if you don't dominate, you can't establish your law. If you don't dominate, you can't bring the influence of God there. The only time you can establish the influence you are looking for is when you take over. And he taught this same principle to his children. The Bible said concerning Isaac, Genesis 26, from verse 13 to 17, he said, Isaac became great. He waxed strong until the Philistines envied him. How can a man become big and a nation envies him? A nation. You are here. Your friend is envying you and you are dancing. You are saying, well, it's not my fault. It's because I'm big. You are big? Do you know what it means to be big? Your friend who is a mediocre is envying you. You say you are big. Who is that your friend? It's when a president begins to envy you that you say I've started doing something. It's when a king begins to envy you that you can say you are doing something. Your friend who is wearing short knicker with you is envying you and you are troubled. Some cannot even sleep. Can you imagine what they said? They said this, they said that. Can you imagine? Oh, ignore those childish things and grow. Who is that? Somebody came to me the other time and said, can you imagine? This person said this. I said, they are children, leave them. They are talking about nation. What concerns me with what they're saying? Somebody is talking about you, he's behind you. Go forward. We are not even looking at Nigeria. We are looking at Africa. We are looking at Europe. We are looking at America. A man who is thinking the globe. Do you have time to go and start fighting that brother who sat with two people and they are gossiping you? They don't have work. When they become reasonable, they will know that there is a destiny to conquer. There are nations to conquer. There are territories to conquer. The things I'm thinking about, they are too big for anybody to take my time. It's a takeover mentality. And that was the same mentality Jacob had. When Jacob went to Laban's house, he was thinking of how to start a company. Do you know that when Jacob was returning, the Bible said he was bigger than Laban? Jacob was bigger than Laban. This is not rebellion. This is growth. A martyr is a dominating force. We are not just preachers. Listen, the time has come for you to become so big that nation will seek your advice. The time has come for you to become so big that governments will borrow from you. Not because you stole, but because there are mysteries you have tapped into as a witness of the kingdom. And you are not as big as the government of your nation. You are as big as your supply from heaven. He said, my God shall supply all your needs. Not according to your nation. He said, according to his riches. If you are rich as God, how will you be like? The time has come for us to begin to buy airlines, to begin to buy banks, to begin to buy buildings and become the largest real estate moguls, not just in Abuja, not just in Nigeria, in Africa. And they will say, come on, who is this guy? You are bigger than the biggest in Dubai, and you are taking samples, you are bringing excellence that the architects of Dubai are coming to copy. Thank God for the 1 hectare of land, but we are not looking at 1 hectare. Did you not see? Don't you see some of the fathers? Meanwhile, the fathers are preparing the ground for us. I heard a story that when Adeboye became 70, that the EE Adeboye, the RCCG church in England said, wait, let's bless our father. We know we have been giving him some things, but let's bless him. And they now said, everybody should give. Write a check as you are led. When they submitted the check, Barclays Bank in the United Kingdom dedicated 2 staff to gather the check, verify it, collate the figure and credit his account. Do you know when they finish? When Adeboye was 72. It took them 2 years to gather the check. That is dominion. 2 years. They gave somebody birthday gift. Those are the check from England, not from United States, not from Africa, from England. It took them 2 years to gather the check. 2 years. That is birthday gift. And so they now advise themselves, we will never do this again because they can't handle it. When he took over RCCG, they said there were about 30 something churches. Every known continent and territory today, there's RCCG. Every is called dominion. Dominion has 5 cadres. Number 1 is to be fruitful. To be fruitful is to be productive, but it doesn't stop there. After you become fruitful, it says multiply. So that thing you produce, begin to duplicate it. Subdue, become a household name. Become the major voice there. Others can prosper, but you subdue. Take over. It's when you are fruitful, when you multiply, when you replenish and subdue. That's when you have dominion. You think we are going to be in a hall here saying God has helped us. This is not dominion. This is called beginning. This is Genesis. This is starting. A day will come when you are talking, all the continents of the world, people are hearing at the same time. And you will not be the only giant. There will be many giants. I was told the other time, this King Charles that became king recently has visited Jesus' house in London 2 times. The last time he came to visit, that the EA Deboy was there, but he didn't go. He told the state pastor, go and see him. It's called dominion. Do you know presidents of nations clamor to see the man? There are many countries today that their currency is his face that is there. The national anthem of the country is sung in his name. But there is another man that has so much dominion that he didn't consider it a privilege to see the King of England. I respect him in his office, but I talk to a monarch that is eternal. I stand before a God that does not age, and I'm there all day long, and so I'm not moved by it. See, there is a mentality of a witness. That's why you say you are 50, you say we are big. Your church, you are 1,000, you say you are big. You have not started. The glory of the King is in the multitude of the people. A point will come when like what is his name now? Joshua's colleague. Caleb, give me this mountain, I will take it. When you come, see, people are looking for position in church. I want to lead prayer. I want to lead praise and worship. If you want to lead prayer, you wear suit. Ika. That's not what you should be thinking. The day you are leading prayer, kebe, orobo, eyaba. If they don't tell you to lead prayer, you are offended. Forget that childish thing. Sir, I want to take Lagos. I want to take Port Harcourt. I want to take Adamawa. Your capacity is a nation. The early church, the Bible said, deacons were taking cities. It said Philip went to Samaria. It was not a church promotion. It was not a church transfer. He just entered Samaria. He was passing through Samaria. And in a matter of weeks, he took over the city. It's called dominion. That place where you are, you should take over. I prophesy over you. You are taking over that business. I prophesy over you. You are taking over that city. I prophesy over you. You are taking over that territory. Some of the prayers are not necessary. Our mind is small. That's our problem. You are in Mararaba and you are crying. Mararaba, where people are choked like sardine. How can you be in Mararaba and 15 people are coming to fellowship? A place where you can stand on the street, start a service and gather 40 people. You have not gotten the takeover mentality. You have not gotten it. You have not gotten it. See, when you catch this thing, no place can accommodate you. You will be moving from one place to another. I heard what Pastor Chris said. A point came, they removed signboard. Pastor Chris has never pastored a church that has a signboard. You will cause problem. You don't need to know where he's preaching. They had to remove the signboard and drop it so they can manage it. Every 3 months, they change venue because there is no place able to accommodate them. He now went to Ghana for a meeting. The first day, they started from a hall. On the third day, they moved to the stadium. On the fifth day, police came and said, please, don't organize the last day. We can't manage it. A man showed up and broke the security system of a nation. We can't manage it, sir. Please stop. This is why the man no longer pastors any church. Because it's difficult. Even stadiums can't hold him. It's called dominion. Dominion. And today, the only thing Pastor Chris can do in order to accommodate people is to stream online. And Pastor Chris will organize a pastor's conference and 12 million pastors will attend. What is that? It's called dominion. It's called dominion. Thank God for what he's doing in your life, but you have not started. Don't be like Joshua. You conquered 31 kingdoms. You say, I've done well. God said, no, no. 31 is the starting point. There are over 40 nations. There are over 50 nations. There are over 70 nations. It is time to take over. And I prophesy over you. Your capacity is enlarged. Your capacity is enlarged. Your capacity is enlarged. Your capacity is enlarged. In the name of Jesus. A G-Wagon. But what about owning a car operating shop? What about starting up a car business? What about having a factory that produces cars? I know you fly first class. That's good. What about a private jet? What about an airline? Who told you you can't run it? I know you love preaching. It's a he that desires the office of a bishop, desires a good thing. But what about taking over Abuja? What about taking over Nigeria? What about taking over Africa? That's how you think. It's never enough. He said, increase. Stretch forth the cuttings of your habitation. Lengthen thy cords. Lengthen thy cords. Lengthen thy cords. He said, occupy till I come. Thank God for the job you have with the bank. In a banking. A bank. What about starting a banking business? Those capacities are there. Because you were created in the image and in the likeness of God. Please don't settle with what you have now. There is more on your inside. There is more on your inside. And tonight, God tells you you are a witness because he wants to bring you there. He wants to take you there. If Abraham was able to do it, then you can do it because you are the seed of Abraham. He said, hearken unto me, all ye that love righteousness, all ye that love God. He said, look up to Abraham your father and not to Sarah that body, for I called him alone and I blessed him and I increased him. He said, the Lord shall comfort Zion and he shall comfort his waste places and he shall turn his garden unto the garden of the Lord. I decree over you, everything small in your life, they are crushed tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. I prophesy over you, let your capacity begin to enlarge. Let your capacity begin to enlarge. Let your capacity begin to enlarge in the name of the Lord Jesus. I know you have been a mechanic for 10 years. You are about to open an auto shop. You are about to shift. You are about to begin to take over. I know you are a tailor. And all you did is to sew trousers for teachers. But you are about to upgrade. You are about to begin to supply. Don't you know you can supply wares to Europe from Nigeria? Nobody set any boundary to limit you. Nobody set any hindrance for you. You are the hindrance to yourself. And I prophesy over somebody tonight, the capacity for unexplainable enlargement, receive it now. Receive it now. Receive it now. I speak over that business. That business receives life now. It receives life now. In the name of Jesus, I speak over that career. It receives life now. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and honor the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hear this. Your size has nothing to do with your age. You can be old and be large and dominate and take over. You can be young and enlarge and dominate and take over. David defeated Goliath at age 14. Does that strike a bell? At 14, David defeated Goliath and became a national phenomenon. And the Bible said Abraham was old and well stricken in age. He said the Lord blessed him in all things. It doesn't matter if you are young or old. If you are a witness, you are a dominating force. And it doesn't matter the country where you are. It doesn't matter the system where you are. That's why you went there. You have the capacity to take over. And so I prophesy over you. From this week, you begin to dominate your sphere. From this week, you begin to take over. From this week, you begin to conquer. In the name of Jesus, I release upon you the grace to take over. I release upon you the power to take over. In the name of the Lord Jesus, go forward and prosper. Some of you that are being mocked tonight, hear me. In the next 3 months, everybody in that institution will envy you. Some of you that are being ridiculed, before this year is over, even your nation's attention will be drawn to you. I prophesy over you the grace for dominion. Receive it now. How do we take over the world if we are small? How? We can't be small. We can't be small. Men are rising in our midst that will walk up to us and say, what is the budget? If that budget is less than $1 billion, then don't announce it. Send it to me. I decree that's your realm. I decree that's your realm. I decree that's your realm. Listen, dominion is tied to productivity. Anybody dominating, there's a difference between being a proof producer and working in dominion. Dominion is tied to productivity. You create it, so it bears your signature. I prophesy over someone. You cease to be a dependent. You become a productive entity in the name of Jesus. Lift
lift your hands toward heaven. Before we see you on Sunday again, something will change in your life. Before we see you in the next service, something will shift in your life. And that thing that has intimidated you until now, whether it is money, whether it is men, whether they are laws, policies, or system, resistance of systems, I decree over you now, become bigger than those mountains. In the name of Jesus, you will come into the realm where everything they give to you will not add to you. It will rather be a blessing to those who give you. In Philippians 4:17, Paul said, "We have not received gift of you because we desire anything." He said, "We receive them that it may be credited to your account." You will come to that level where nothing they give you will make a difference. You will be bigger than a nation. In the name of the Lord Jesus. So let it be written.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.